Jesus loves him, but the rest of us think he's a putz. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
Sometimes S-E-X.
Oh, well.
So you don't want the little boy to hear that.
No.
But the biggest word is is this word.
Here we go.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Sing along with us now.
D-I-V-O-R-A-C.
Oh, I forgot how to spell divorce.
There a silent X in there somewhere? Yes.
Well, one of our all-time most favoritist guests that we've had on our show over the years is here in studio, back again, snuggling up to the microphone. Don Bennett is in the house, and whenever we have a special day to celebrate, like Valentine's or Mother's Day, nothing says celebration like Don Bennett, our friendly neighborhood divorce attorney. Hello, darling.
Hello, Drew.
I love that you're here today, because for me, I've just heard way too many stories over the years of marriages going down the toilet, but it's the mom, it's the woman in this relationship that is just getting screwed over royally here, and it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, it happens a lot. It happens a lot.
But why? Is it just the whole, oh, poor me, I'm just the mom, I can't really defend my, I mean, that just sounds pathetic.
Pathetic, but true sometimes. I think many times people who don't want to be necessarily aggressive or take an active part, maybe they want the relationship to continue. Hmm. And so they just kind of take it low as they get crushed, basically.
Well, I'm glad you're here today, because I know two women in particular who are listening, who want to hear your words of advice, because they are going through a divorce and they're scared. They're
right.
Just really, really terrified right now. So let's just start off with a quick word of advice for any mom out there. They've got the young kids. They're in the middle of it now. Okay, they've decided they're heading towards divorce, and they're terrified. What do you say to them?
Get knowledge, because knowledge is power. So the first thing is, you don't want to listen to what your friends have done or necessarily get a bunch of information from the internet that you can't apply to your situation. You want to make an informed decision. So definitely, if you're scared, I would say go to a lawyer. You can pay for a consultation, 1 hour. Get your questions answered. Focus on what your options are and get some perspective. And once you have perspective, the fear will go down. Definitely.
But I'm a Christian and I go to church. And, divorce.
Are you asking me this again? I know where this is headed.
You know where this is going.
I know where this is headed.
Divorce shouldn't happen. I don't agree. I don't believe in divorce. I'm playing the role of mother here. You know, the woman in the family who just feels that way. Divorce shouldn't happen. I don't believe in it. What do you say to that person?
That divorce shouldn't happen. It doesn't have to happen. But if you're having problems in your marriage, there's several alternatives. You don't have to divorce in the outset, but you need to get help, right? So whether it's counseling, whether it's getting a different perspective, whether it's the friends, the church, community, whatever it might be, get some help. Don't stay stuck where you are. Divorce doesn't have to be the first step. And I would never encourage people to get divorced if they don't want to. But if you do choose to get divorced, then you need to do so in a way that is, I would say, intelligent and effective. You don't want to be a victim of the process, because it's a tough process.
But it's not my decision. It's his decision. He's decided he wants divorce. I don't believe in it, so I'm not going to do anything about it.
But whether you do anything about it or not, you're still affected by it. So if your spouse is deciding they're going to divorce, irrespective of what you think, which is something that they certainly can do, then you need to at least make sure that you minimize the damage done to you. Because if you take an apathetic role, many people will say to me, oh, I'm not going to sign the papers. That's American. You don't sign papers in Canada when you get divorced and someone has to chase you down and force you to sign. That's not what happens here. They can do it unilaterally without your involvement. So if you don't have any input, then you'll be a victim of the entire process. And they'll get orders in your absence. Definitely.
What does that mean? Orders in your absence.
It means that if you, whatever you don't oppose, you're deemed to accept. So if someone says they want to divorce you and they file a divorce application with their legal claims against you and you do nothing, every claim they make against you will succeed because you haven't opposed it.
All right. You are listening to the best person to discuss this topic today because she is – how long have you been a divorce attorney for? Family – what are we calling you, by the way? Are we branding you
as
a divorce attorney?
I prefer family lawyer.
Family
lawyer.
Because
pretty much everything with couples and children, not just divorce.
Yeah.
Right? So –
family lawyer, Dawn Bennett in the studio with us.
Thank you.
How long have you been family lawyering for?
19 years.
Are you kidding me?
No. Feels longer. But yeah.
How long have you known Tim the Tool for?
Even longer. You thought the 19 years of family practice.
Thought that was hard on you.
Since we were teenagers, put it that way.
Really?
Yes.
What kind of a dope was he when he was a teenager?
Tim was not a dope.
Really?
Tim was cool. He had his whole mullet thing going on in the 80s. He was super cool.
Rock and roll, man.
Super cool. Tim was cool.
And my buddy my buddy Gary had the flat top.
That's right.
Really?
He had the, box cut.
Yeah, the box cut.
Yes. That's
the
right.
The Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, Kid and Play was the...
That's right. That's right, the boss.
Okay,
cut.
We need to talk about something else. Tim's mullet. So let's say there's a career mom out there.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, gee, I mean, I wonder if, you know, having to have child care, is that going to affect my chances at primary custody? What do you think?
So the fact that you have a career, that she has a career, is
going
to affect? It can. It isn't unilaterally a factor in and of itself, but it definitely can. So the actual legal test is the best interest of the child. And what the courts look at and what the law looks at is consistency of care and control. So if the mother has a career in that she's not spending as much time with the child as, say, the dad who may not have a career or as a non-career mother, then it can affect the time because the court looks at it as the consistency that the child has had in terms of caregiving should continue. So if the mother hasn't been the primary caregiver because of her career, then it can affect it. Hmm. But it doesn't mean that because she has a career, she's not going to get custody of her child.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Okay. What about stay-at-home moms? How do they function through the divorce process with no means of support from the husband or for herself or the kids?
Get to court quickly. So if you're a stay-at-home mom, no income, no job, and your husband refuses to support you, and let's say there's a mortgage that he normally pays and now he's gone, most lawyers who are worth their salt and who are competent in what they're doing in family law will assess your situation and find a way that they can help you until you can get some support from him. But you have to act very expeditiously. Don't wait a year of struggling and then say it's been a year, he hasn't paid anything. As soon as the money stops, get in a lawyer's office, get your consultation.
But that's not who I am. I'm not an aggressive person. I don't want this divorce. I'm getting all kumbaya on you here.
Well, then you're going to starve.
I love it. This is why you want Dawn Bennett in your corner.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a mother... I'm speaking on behalf of a mother. Mm-hmm. What would be the best way to explain to the kids what's happening to them? And is there any way to sort of ease this transition separation for them?
Yeah. Okay. There isn't really a best way, but some ways are definitely better than others. So what experience has shown me is that the parents that are affected the least and the kids that are affected the least is when you're not angry. It's not done as a knee-jerk reaction to something that has gone wrong. And then, by the way, your dad and I are divorcing. You want to do it in a calm manner. And you also want to put some boundaries in place. Mm. So it isn't just a matter of our marriage has fallen apart. I don't know what's going to happen. And then you run off and you're under the bed. And the kids are thinking, what just happened? Which does happen many times where the parents just don't know what to do and they don't know how to fake it in front of the kids. And my recommendation is fake it. Let them know that life is going to continue. It may not be as it was before. And even if you don't know everything that's going to happen until the end, tell them at the very least the next step. So at least there's some boundary, there's some security, and they know that everything isn't lost. But when you completely fall apart and let them know how hurt and damaged or angry you are by it, it ruins it for them.
You know, I'm just thinking about Mother's Day and how that works in the eyes of the court as far as visitation rights. So if I understand things right, when a couple divorces, they figure out the visitation schedule, who gets the children when?
Yeah, we call it an access schedule.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happens if that schedule, the children are going to be, it's the dad's turn that weekend?
Yeah. normally it can go both ways, but normally if they've worked it through and they've had proper legal representation, you would have in your court order or in your separation agreement that irrespective of what we call the regular access schedule, if an access weekend falls on Mother's Day, it's automatically for the mother. If it falls on Father's Day, automatically for the father. The difficulty is when, let's say, the father is in a new relationship and he wants the children to celebrate Mother's Day with the new mother.
Yeah, yeah.
The courts won't really acknowledge that. Oh. They'll acknowledge the primary mother, the biological mother.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I want to bring in the guy part of all of this, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So I can imagine there be a lady out there who's sort of saying, look, my husband left me for another woman, and now that she's in my children's life, you know, you just talked about the whole doing mother something for her on Mother's Day as well. But my thinking in all this is this shouldn't be something resolved by the courts. Why can't people just figure this stuff out without going to the courts? Seriously, I'd like you to be out of business, Don Bennett.
Oh, true. I hear you. I hear you. And the truth is they can. In theory, you can solve it because not everybody whose marriage breaks down goes to court. But you go to court when you can't resolve it and you need something to be resolved, or you need to compel someone to do something that they refuse to do voluntarily, or if there's danger, harm, or risk of harm, right? But you don't have to go to court. You don't have to have lawyers. If you want to make an informed decision in what you're doing, then it helps to have some legal advice, but it's perfectly legal just to divvy up the stuff and leave.
Some of you might be listening saying, why would Drew Marshall have, and I don't know why you'd be speaking like that, why would Drew Marshall have a divorce lawyer, family lawyer on the show and the Mother's Day special? That's just sick. What kind of a guy is this? Well, I'm a guy who actually gives more of a rip about the kids than I do about whatever's going on with the parents. And I have just, again, over the years, having been a pastor and having spoken to various people along the way, I've heard so many stinking horror stories. And Don, my goodness, you would have heard even more of husbands and wives, dads and moms, being goofballs with each other. And who gets hurt in the process? If the kids are just being used as pawns in this whole thing, right? You've seen this.
Everybody gets hurt, not just the kids. The kids, the parents get hurt, but because the parents are older and assumably wiser, you need to take the blows and protect your kids. So the kids get hurt in incredible ways the parents don't anticipate, not just from their actions, but from their lack of action. And what I have seen and what I would definitely recommend, don't leave decisions up to your kids. For the most part, set the boundaries, take control, let them know that things are still predictable as much as possible. But don't just say, we don't know what's happening, throw up our hands and walk away. Because that's when the kids really spiral out of control. Because it's just like down is up, east is west. It's just they don't know what to do because nothing makes sense anymore. But if you say, like in any other crisis, because divorce really is a crisis in the family, in any other crisis, yes, something bad has happened, is happening, change is coming, but we can actually deal with it. Give them the boundaries and the comfort to know that you're still there for them. It's not their fault, and they're still loved. And actually, something that came to mind as you were asking that, when I was going through law school, because it doesn't matter how old your kids are, because even when I was in law school, and I was in my 20s, and I'd have colleagues of mine or classmates of mine whose parents were divorcing and just dying for the kid to finish law school so they could have their kid represent them in the divorce. Not thinking,
what?
Yeah. And not thinking anything was wrong with that. And whether you're 22, 42, or 2, having your parents divorce is traumatic. And parents have to realize that.
Can I just want to get a little Jerry Springer here for a second.
Please don't.
What is... Just give me a little example of something. Obviously, you can't use names. You got to be very private about stuff. But give me an example of things you've heard of or maybe seen and of people who normally are fairly normal people. They seem pretty balanced. But then all of a sudden, when divorce court comes along, they just go, as you've said, sideways.
Yeah. Well, of course, I never talk about my clients.
No.
Absolutely confidential. I can't do that, nor should I. But the courts are public, and anyone is free to visit. And if you do visit the family courts, you can see for yourself where there a lot goes on. It isn't, and it's not to be taken lightly or to be made fun of, because people are at probably one of the worst times in their life, mm-hmm. because the top three stressors are divorce, death, and moving. I can't remember the order, but I remember those are the top three. And because it makes the top three, you're not going to be making the best decisions necessarily when it's happening. So I don't want to, I really don't want to judge people or say, look at how bad they got, because they're at their worst. And I wouldn't want someone judging me at my worst. So I tend to see it and just kind of turn a blind eye, and more so provide help if I can, but not really expose.
You seem like the most level-headed human being when it comes to this kind of stuff. Have you always been wired like that?
I was a serious kid that became this is Tim.
Yes.
I was a serious
this
kid
is
that
a question
became
for Tim, isn't it?
A serious adult. I know. I just it's just serious all the way through. That's just I don't know. That's just how I am.
Yeah.
I want
to
know the effect it has on you. Like as you're talking, I just try to imagine the judges who have to do this day in and day out, these families. Like does PTSD, does it affect you?
It can, definitely, but you have to infuse your life with good things. So for example, one of my colleagues who I went to law school with, just like often we ask, this person doesn't practice family law, they practice commercial law, but you might have a client who has a family question. So she texted me a family question, said, oh, Dawn, you know, what happens if you make 2 times more than your husband? And I thought she was talking about a client, but she's actually talking about herself. And I thought, oh, now, and as it turns out, this person is thinking of divorce and she wants me to help her. And I'm just like, it's my friend, but it makes it extraordinarily difficult because you don't understand the process until you're in it. It's not a friendly process and it can be draining. And you really want your friends to edify you and not really drain you of your emotional resources.
Yeah.
So yes, it can, but you have to feed yourself with good stuff.
We're in the studio live with Dawn Bennett. Dawn, when it comes to, just sort of, families, I mean, couples staying together because of the kids. How do you react to that phrase? We're staying together because of the kids.
What do you mean? How do I react?
Well, is that a good idea or is it going to hurt them in the long run?
It depends on the situation. I mean, if there's so many different dynamics that could be happening within the family. And so it may be a good idea to stay together and work out your stuff, but then it may not be a good idea depending on what's happening. So, for example, I mean, if it's a case of abuse of one or both the spouses and the kids, then you really need to get help or find an alternative. If it's just a matter of life, because life is hard and life has challenges, then get the help that you need to actually make it work. Because I think the statistics show, and what we certainly experience, is that kids tend to do better in healthy relationships when they're able to watch the healthy marriages, watch the healthy relationships, and irrespective of while you leave, divorce creates a whole set of problems that you didn't have when you were married. So it's not like once you stop being married, you end up problem-free. You just exchange some problems for different problems.
What, in your experience, what have been the best, books or courses to help people learn about themselves, that don't just simply transfer baggage from a broken marriage into the next relationship? Have you ever come across some stuff that helps?
Definitely. Top three things I would say is individual counseling, whether you're married or single or divorcing. Christian counseling, Bay Ridge Family Center up at Huntley Street, amazing. Plan and Prepare for Marriage. You can look at planandprepare.org. Helps you as you're preparing for the next marriage. And then also divorce.org, I think it's called. The name is slipping me, but I could, it's just slipping right now. Yeah, basically, and that's where I actually send clients who are in the process of divorcing. It's just slipped me, but it's actually counseling for divorce, and they recommend, and again, it's Christian counseling, but they say take at least 5 years before you enter into a new marriage or a new relationship, irrespective of the situation, and it's healing through the process.
Hold on, no one does that. No one takes five. No one. If let's say that the marriage has been crappy for 10 years, and finally they get to that point and they go, well, we're gonna do it. We're gonna get divorced. They're not gonna wait 5 years to go into it. They've already been in a loveless relationship for 10 years.
But you don't want to jump from the pot to the frying pan. You want to make sure that you actually put yourself in a healthier place so you don't repeat the same mistakes.
Right, right, right.
So the people that I divorce come back 6 months later and they have a prenup and they want me to do a prenup. They're engaged, and my recommendation is just to slow down because you don't want to repeat the same mistakes. Divorcecare.org. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
absolutely
found it, yes.
Excellent. It's Christian based. And what I have found is clients who may be extremely challenging within the process with me, put them in the program, they go through it, and they are transformed. So those are my top three.
Do you like what you do?
Sometimes.
I love that you're doing it because I love saying this on air. I need to come back and watch you again because I remember sneaking into court one
and
day.
I remember that too. And no, Drew, please
don't ever come again.
I don't want an audience.
It was just I was so proud of you.
And I was horrified when I saw you. So yeah. that's
awkward having this tall white dude cheering at the back there.
Focus on the judge, focus on my client. Like, oh, there's Drew. It's like, yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, hopefully it didn't affect your client.
No, that was good.
Well, folks, nothing says Happy Mother's Day like a divorce lawyer. Becoming a single mom can be unbelievably scary and overwhelming, but the fact is that even people of faith end up divorcing, and it's crucial that moms are aware of how to navigate the divorce process. When the painful decision to divorce has been made, it's important to have someone that really knows the law but also understands your personal and spiritual needs. Don Bennett is a family lawyer who appreciates that divorce is a reality and that there are many in need of legal counsel. Her website is bennettlaw.ca. Bennettlaw.ca. Two N's, two T's, bennettlaw.ca. She's a friend of ours. She's a partner with our show. I have sent her numerous people myself. Mm-hmm. I've watched her in court, and Tim used to have a crush on her. So there you go. That's why she's here. So good to see you again. Thank you for joining us.
Good to see you too, Drew.
Always good to chat. All right, a short break. Lots more coming up.